You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I got to tell you, just even yesterday, I was communicating back and forth with my my interpreter from Afghanistan and just checking on him. He lives in California now. He was recently able to get his sister out, maybe in the last week or so. But his parents are still there, and he said that even still to this day, the Taliban have searched his parents' house several times, seizing their phones, doing things, harassing them, because his father used to be a member of the Afghan military. And it's a mess still to this day. There's an organization that I am familiar with called Operation North Star. So Operation North Star, you can find their website, OperationNorthStar.com. They've been dedicated since the day of this debacle pullout kicking off to helping go in and rescue people who are being left behind, and now assisting with people who still want to leave. And one of their key members is Dr. Ron Lee. Dr. Ron Lee from Foley, Alabama, a veteran himself, and he's on the phone with us right now, so we're going to bring him on. Hey, Dr. Lee, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, thank you for that, and thanks for the work you've been doing. I guess let's do this, Ron. Go ahead and give us a little synopsis of what North Star is, how you formed up, and then let's talk about some of the things you guys have done.
Sure. Yeah, so in the early days leading up to the evacuation of August 31st, 2021, there were those of us who had served in Afghanistan and had interpreters, fellow Afghan soldiers that we worked very close with, and we were all like, hey, this government is collapsing very rapidly, and this is going to turn into a very bad situation for those people who worked and helped the U.S. government and the U.S. military, and if we don't get them out, bad things are going to happen to them. And so I quickly started contacting the other soldiers and officers I worked with. And I said, hey, I lost touch with our interpreter. Are you still friends with him on Facebook, on social media, you know, blah, blah, blah. And one thing led to another. And I was able to finally get in touch with him. And so I said, hey, you got to get out of there. You got like 10 days left. You know, what have you been doing? And he said, oh, I've been applying to the State Department website and doing all these things. And I was like, okay, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to work. We got to jump on this quick. So one thing led to another, and I got in touch with some other soldiers and officers who were trying to get those folks, their folks out, and we quickly formed Operation North Star. And we didn't call it that at the time. But what we found was that it was impossible that last week to get our people into the airport. There was just a sea of people at all four gates that it was impossible. And if you had kids, you were risking, you know, their lives. And then we were getting intel from the Afghan Special Forces guys inside the airport. And so one day they sighted a suicide bomb. They, you know, somebody identified one. And so we were getting our people out, and thank goodness, because the next day, you know, he blew up outside of Abbey Gate there, I think on the South Gate. So our folks were fine. And we even actually had a crazy plan to get one of the U.S., you know, a couple U.S. Blackhawks and a Chinook, and pick up our folks in a abandoned parking lot just outside the airport, and load them up quickly, and then fly them in the airport. Well, of course, that didn't pan out. And So anyway, in those last few days, we decided to move our people north to a city north that had an international airport, and that was Mazar-e Sharif. And then thus was born the name Operation North Star. So it was kind of interesting, and we all got to know each other and work very closely with each other. And with the help of other NGOs like Glenn Beck's Nazarene Group, we were able to get our folks on planes, and thank goodness, you know. And because a lot of these folks are.
I got to say too, Ron, though, but it wasn't that easy. I mean, you had people tucked away in safe houses and having to bribe Taliban guards and you know, trying to get charter planes flying in the dark of night. I mean, it was high adventure for you guys there for a while. Wasn't
it was the Wild West. I'm telling you, we actually, once we got into to Mazar-e Sharif, you know, the Oxus River is right there, and you cross the Oxus and you're in like Uzbekistan, you know, Tajikistan, and one other country up there. And we were contacting, you know, some government representatives, and they wouldn't let them in. They said they could apply for a visa or what they call like a pass-through visa, but they'd only be given 2 days. They had to be out of the country. Everybody was scared of the Taliban. Nobody wanted anything to do that would increase their risk that the Taliban would take action on their country. And it was so bleak, and everybody that was willing to help us, you know, wanted all kinds of money, you know, and we only had so much. And, you know, thank goodness that we had some other folks, you know, willing to help, and we were able to, and we were afford to, we could afford to get them out. So I got my two interpreters out. Their families are still there. Mm. We've had to move them around, you know, from time to time. But it's been very slow now. You know, the last year, it's been a very slow process. And so right now, we're just working on sustainment and just trying to keep them alive and trying to get our people here that made it here, trying to get them to be, you know, law-abiding, tax-paying, you know, U.S. citizens, and they are. So both my guys, I sent them to truck driving school, and they're doing really well. They're standing on their own two feet financially. They're sending money back home, you know, and whichever way they can, MoneyGram, you know, Western Union, and I think sometimes they can use things like Venmo or PayPal. You know, the versions that they have over there. So they're doing well, and right now we're just trying to work the system to try to get them their families approved. But both of them are SIV approved. But as you can imagine, it's the State Department. Once the Ukraine war broke out, it has just been a trickle of folks making it over here. And well, that's what we're dealing with now.
So let me ask you, though, Ron, you guys were able to rescue a number of people, some of whom I think were U.S. citizens, many of whom, though, had reason to leave the country for one reason or another. But what's it like right now? What I mean, like to get somebody out of the country right now, and we got about 4 or 5 minutes here to talk, but to get somebody out right now, what is the process? Because I'm hearing from my own interpreter that the security situation is deteriorating in many ways, and the Taliban is getting more and more sort of antsy.
It's hard. You know, if they qualify for SIV or even like a P1, P2 humanitarian visa, their passport cannot be older than it can't expire within a year, in less than a year, because they could be stuck in one of the lily pad countries like Qatar, you know, for example, because they're going to get processed there. They could be there 6 months, they could be there longer, and you know, they have to get, as you can imagine, there's paperwork, there's vaccinations, you know, all that takes time, and so that stipulation about the passport expiration date has held up a lot of people. And the reason is because the passport office is controlled by the Taliban, and it could open for a month and then close for four, you know?
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so, obviously, every time it opens, there's a huge line of people ready to, you know, to go in. So it's and then our own State Department, you know, we were hoping that they were going to change some of their policies, and they're not. It's been slow. So there's a lot of forces, you know, working against us right now.
I would imagine too that from what I'm hearing a little bit, and I know you might hear more than I do, but that the Taliban is also making it difficult to leave, because to want to leave is like saying I don't want to be a part of the Taliban, and they don't appreciate it. So are you hearing things about persecution or about people being singled out?
Persecution and harassment. So I think the Taliban, for every now and then, they try to play, you know, this fine line where they want to at least appear to be open, you know, and be part of the rest of the world. But, you know, really, they're in all intents and purposes, it's a very closed society. I'm not talking about the Taliban, not the average Afghan, but the Taliban. They would be more than happy to just be closed off from the rest of the world and do what they want to do, you know, and subjugate women and children, for that matter. And so it's been very hard. You know, we still have a lot of high value targets in there, the high ranking government officials that work for the U.S. government. There's judges, there's female professors and doctors. And on the military side, it's the Afghan Special Forces. One of the Special Forces guys in our group, he worked with some lawyers in South Africa, and he got initial approval for some of his Afghan Special Forces counterparts and their family members to go to South Africa and to seek asylum. And when they got there, there were officials in the South African government that just were not happy with this, even though they went through the proper channels, and they tried to paint it people were trying to undermine their government. It was not. These people applied legally for asylum, and so they were not granted that. And they, I think they're in, and they had to go to Zimbabwe. But it's a shame, you know, that everybody's afraid of taking in, you know, Afghan refugees because of the Taliban, and I think really that's the main concern.
Well, so we got to wind it up here, Ron. But let me ask you just real quickly:
sure.
You guys are still out there. I know that everything you do takes money, even down to the point of having to bribe, you know, Taliban officials to get somebody, you know, on the bus to the plane or wherever, even chartering flights sometimes. So that being said, if folks want to find out more about you, or if they want to participate in what you're doing, or something like that, how do they do that?
Absolutely. We have a website, OperationNorthStar.com, and that's, you know, all one word. You know, please look us up if you have any questions. We have some contacts in there that we'd be more than happy to talk with you. But it's all to help, you know, all these vulnerable, high-value targets that, you know, was trying to get the country back on track to be a sovereign government, and unfortunately, a lot of these former government officials and female professionals are being targeted right now, and it's terrible.
Well, it is, but I appreciate your work. I've been proud to sort of be on the sidelines a little bit in the background with what you're doing, and I appreciate you being on the show again, and we'll stay in touch, because I think this story is not yet over. So Ron Lee, Operation North Star. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us, man.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, Boomer. I ran long, but take it to a break. Folks, there are still people out there that are literally trapped in a persecution position because of the Biden administration. And the idea that we abandoned them is still galling to me. But then on top of that, we got good folks like Ron Lee and his Operation North Star, which is doing what it can. And this stuff happening behind the scenes, you don't even realize sometimes. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come back and talk a little more. Stay tuned.